Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Abigail Dean, and she is out with a debut novel. It's called Girl A. It is available now. I mean, you're going to see it everywhere because it's just a huge rollout here. It's a fantastic novel. Abigail, the story, I mean, if I was to sum this up, I would say a mother dies and leaves her children in the house. How do you make that interesting into a novel? What'd you do here?
I agree, because it sounds just a bit like a sort of like probate law story. I think that what injects the drama and injects the interest is the children who have been left this house include Girl A, who is Lex Gracie. And she and her siblings grew up in a house that became known in the press as the House of Horrors, where they were subject to their parents' kind of cult-like behavior. So when Lex's mother leaves the children the house, it's actually this House of Horrors where they grew up, you know, in very, very difficult circumstances. And Lex wants to turn that house into a force for good. But to do so, she's going to have to get her siblings on side and revisit the idea that she escaped from this house and doesn't really want to go back to it. But at the same time, it's time to resurrect those old battles and alliances within the family in order to decide the fate of the family home.
The title of the book, Girl A, is taken from a media portrayal of Lex in the media. Can you explain how that works? Because I don't think it's done that way in every community here in the United States.
Yes, sure. So Girl A is really the pseudonym that Lex is given after she escapes from the family home. So I think it's the idea that in the UK, in court documents, and in the media, that is how a child might be referred to, you know, in a very kind of anonymous way to try to preserve their anonymity and to give them a sort of chance at having a life essentially free from this trauma and from the difficulties of their childhood. And I guess the idea in Girl A is that Lex, you know, she's kind of both defined and desperate to move away from this identity as being the girl who escaped from that house.
As you wrote the story and you got this story in your mind, what was the little nugget, maybe the one sentence summary that a lot of writers come up with in their minds to summarize where you wanted this story to go as opposed to what we see now on the actual finished product?
I think that what I thought about throughout was hope and strength and resilience, because I think a lot of the times you might hear you might hear about stories like that's happened to the Gracie family in the novel, sometimes in the media, and I guess I wanted to look beyond the events themselves, beyond what's often captured in true crime podcasts or in documentaries. And I wanted to really focus on the characters and how this difficult childhood would affect them in the days and in the months and in the years that follow. And I think to do that, it was a case of really focusing on their strengths, and especially on the strengths of Lex as a narrator, and as this kind of incredible woman who, as a teenager, has committed this daring escape and who is sort of continuously striving to see the world with some humor, with some hope. And I think that's something that throughout the writing process I was always thinking about, the hope and the strength of the characters.
Was Lex the first character that came to you?
She was. It was Lex and her younger sister, Evie, were the first characters who came to me. And I'm an only child, and I think I'd always had this sort of slight fascination with sibling relationships and with the kind of bond that siblings can have even at moments when they're kind of driving each other crazy a particular way, is, you know, it's that thing you would still defend your brother or sister, you know, to the death if anybody else tried to criticize them. And so I've been thinking for a long time about these sisters, and I think that they were in my head from the very beginning, kind of haunting me a little. I kind of captured them in a few short stories and character sketches, and really this idea of one sister being incredibly protective over the other, and that developed into Lex's protection and love for her younger sister, Evie, and the kind of real humor and imagination in their relationship that was there from the very beginning.
How far did you get into writing the narrative as you decided to add more siblings? Because there are several.
Yes, yeah, the family, I think the family kind of grew with as the plot developed. I think it's one of those strange things that I've often been really interested in larger families in fiction. So a few of my favorite kind of TV shows, I guess I'm thinking of The Sopranos or more recently Succession, have had these sort of big dynamic families. And I think that the Gracie family potentially kind of grew from that. I also really wanted to explore the idea of how this, you know, the curse of the shared childhood would affect each of the siblings very, very differently. You know, you have Lex, who has managed to escape from the house and who is, you know, kind of very reticent about her past. And I think I wanted to look beyond her and Evie to how different people might respond to that kind of trauma. So, you know, you also have Lex's older brother, who has kind of managed to manipulate the media attention to his advantage. And, you know, Lex's younger brother, Gabriel, who is actually very vulnerable outside of the house. You know, he's almost been manipulated by the press and by the attention to such a degree that he finds it very difficult to carve out an identity other than being Boy B. So I think that the bigger family gave me an opportunity to really explore the effects of the Gracie family's childhood in very different ways.
I'm chatting with Abigail Dean about her fantastic new novel, Girl A. It's available now everywhere, every airport, every bookstore, every online bookstore you can think of. Abigail, something I felt as I was reading this book is, as I'm reading about the horrors that went on, there was physical abuse going on in the home, bondage, those types of things. I felt very helpless as a reader because you wanted to jump in. These are children. You want to jump in and save them as you're reading this going on. Did you have that certain sense as a writer of helplessness as you would reveal what happened to these children in this house?
A really fantastic kind of thought and question, and I'm kind of moved by it, you know, that you're moved by the characters. But it's just thank you, and I guess I did feel like that, and I think especially writing as you know, in Lex's voice, it's that idea that she's somebody who desperately wants to help her younger siblings as well, and that perhaps exacerbated that feeling. It's. I think that the only way I kind of found to get past that was to offer the kind of hope of the present day narrative, and we see the siblings knowing from the very first chapter that they have managed to escape from the house. So I hope there's some sort of comfort in those scenes of the present where you see that. You know, ultimately, it's not a book about whether they did or didn't escape. It's more about how has that experience changed them and how are they living with it today. And I think that's where I really found the hope for me in the really difficult writing moments. But there were some sleepless nights, I think, as well.
Well, there are neighbors in this house, in the area of this house of horrors, and this is one of those things where the kids are being abused in plain sight. It's going on. The kids are going out, going to school and things, but it's going on. And so, did you get upset at the neighbors that they were just, I mean, blissfully unaware of what went on so close? Because that's one of those things that I can imagine. We don't know what goes on in the neighbors' homes. And that's another aspect of the story that really probed into my mind.
Yeah, that was something that I was really considering. And I think it's a question that I posed for myself as well as I was thinking about this story. There are some teachers who the Gracie children encounter who, you know, that they kind of take steps to try to address what's happening in the home. And, you know, none of them quite go kind of far enough, really. You know, they express concerns that they care greatly about the children, but they don't really manage to change the course of action of the parents' increasing kind of isolation and sort of dissent. And I think it was a kind of question I was thinking about for myself in terms of, am I confident that I would have done something, that I would have taken, you know, the steps that I should have done. And I think it's probably a question for everyone who reads Girl A. And you know, I have to say as well, I don't know what the answer is from my perspective. I like to think that I would have, you know, do everything that I could if I had any suspicions. But I think that, you know, in communities, there often is particular silence around things. It can be easier, as is the case in the town of Hollerfield, where, you know, a fictional town where the children grow up, where sometimes it is easier not to take action. And I don't know. I always want to think that I would do the right thing, but I think sometimes it's difficult to know for sure. And I think that's the kind of tension in the book as you read it to think about whether, you know, how you would have behaved.
You are an attorney by trade. You work for Google. I think you got that job as you were writing this book. But so sitting down to write a book, and you took some time off, I know, from your job, and a little bit anyway. But what do you do as far as the nuts and bolts go? Sit down. Do you come up with these characters first and then start writing? Or what was your process? Because for somebody that's not coming out of a workshop for something like this, this is an amazingly difficult task.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the characters came first to a great degree here, particularly the sisters, Lex and Evie, as we kind of chatted about. I think that I try to have some form of plan when I'm writing at the very beginning, not necessarily an incredibly detailed one. But when I started writing Girl A, I did know how the novel would end. I knew the kind of precise scene that would close the book. And then I think I tried to sort of trust a bit in the process that you know, with the characters, that they'll get there. And I'm not quite sure as I begin quite how they will get there, but I tried to sort of have faith that they'll work it out, and we'll work it out as we go. I think that sort of blind faith in the characters is maybe combined with to a degree some drudgery, I think, in writing and essentially just carving out time in the evenings and at the weekends around my job, just to try to write and to give yourself the hours, you know, whether or not they're productive hours, but to at least buy some time and just hope that the novel keeps progressing. And yeah, so for Girl A, that's what happened. After the 3 months off, I had kind of another 9 months of chipping away at the draft and sort of writing the second half of it. There were definitely tough days and tough evenings and nights. But yeah, I think by then I was so invested in the characters, and they were, you know, I think they do sort of steadily develop a life of their own.
And Holiday Granger is brought on to do the audio version, which is so important with books like this because so many people listen to audiobooks now. How important was it to make sure you got the perfect voice, and did you have any input into who was selected to do the audio version?
I didn't have a huge amount of input. It was something that the publishing teams kind of determine. And I think that you hear sort of samples, and it's a really beautiful sort of kind of a moment that gives you chills, I think, because it certainly feels, and I mean, I think this is perhaps why audiobooks are just increasingly so popular. You do feel like it's the character telling the story, that it's Lex, you know, narrating to you. I think it kind of adds another element in bringing the story to life. And I'm just in awe of the actresses who have done the reading. It's stunning, and it really kind of moved me, I think, hearing that, you know, your words narrated so beautifully. It's incredible.
Well, and the audio version is just the beginning. We're going to see this book in different forms, I'm sure, in television, in visual. So this book is fantastic. It's called Girl A. It's by Abigail Dean. The book's available now everywhere. It's a huge rollout. You can't not find a copy. They're everywhere. Abigail, just a fantastic book. I absolutely, it moved me so much emotionally to read, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.